Well, first time I saw you, just a quick background. I guess the first time I saw you at Orlando Salsa Congress in 22, and that's when I was just getting started with salsa. So
Nice.
yeah, it was kind of a breakthrough weekend for me because prior to that point, it was very difficult to get on a dance floor. But I saw you. You're definitely one of the inspirations. You know, you made it look so easy on the dance floor. So smooth and so elegant. And you know what was also cool is that you were so humble. You know, I came and introduced myself and you know ask you a question and you were willing to share.
Oh
So
yeah, I didn't go. What?
yeah, you didn't say like not right now. You're like, okay, let's do it, let's
No.
talk about it. So I really appreciate that. So definitely wanted to talk to you, and I guess first thing is, will you share about your dance journey? How did you start? Why you start, and what it's have been like for you?
Yeah, well, being Latino, I'm supposed to know how to dance, right?
Right.
And that was never the case for me. I was more into techno music and house music. And one day, a friend of mine, while I was in college, goes, "Hey, would you want to come to this club with me? You know, I DJ." Not me. He was DJing. And I said, "Look, I'll go, but I don't want to dance because I don't know how to do this stuff." And he goes, "No, don't worry. Just sit there, have dinner, and all that stuff." This beautiful girl comes up to me, a woman, because she was older, and asked me to dance. And I said, "Look, I don't know how to do this stuff." And she goes, "Aren't you Latino? You should know how." And I was like, and she goes, "You can't leave a woman with her hand out asking." And I said, "Oh, gosh." So I walked out there, and I'm looking around, and I see that everybody, I didn't even know it was a merengue, but it was a merengue apparently. And everybody's dancing smooth, and I'm like, "Okay, I think I can do this." And I'm like, and then all of a sudden she just lets go of her hands and goes, "Learn," and walks away and leaves me on the dance floor. Not only that, she's with a bunch of other women, and she goes like this to the other girls and goes like that. Oh man, that was life changing. The next day, my friend who's a DJ, he's like looking at me, and he's like, "No, you need to learn how to at least do merengue and bachata." And so that's where it started, you know. And then I just, you know, took it a little bit further. But then I started watching videos. I mean, this we're talking about 1997, 96, yeah, something like that. And it was VHS. And so, you know, I watched this video of this lady. Her name is Edie the Salsa Freak. And I don't know if you know who Edie is, but she's one of the big pioneers of salsa. That's why it's all over the world, because of this woman. And so I saw her and her and now ex-husband do these videos of dancing salsa, and it was called millennial style back then. And I was like, "Oh wow, this is like hip hop and salsa too. I really love that." So I really got into it and stuff like that. And then as I progressed, I got to meet a lot of wonderful people that guided me in this business. I didn't think I was going to do this for a living. You know, I thought, okay, I'm just going to go social dancing and, you know, have fun. And then, you know, I'm in my house right now, same house where people started coming to my house. "Hey, Neri, can you teach me a move or two?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And it got so busy in my house that we couldn't fit the people. And so one of my students goes, "Hey, don't worry, I got you a gym membership studio that you can teach." And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I'm doing this." But it's been beautiful. The Orlando Congress was actually the first Congress that gave me the opportunity to teach at a Congress when they first started. So it's, yeah, that's been years now. Hold on one second. I got my little dog here. That's
Okay. No worries.
go ahead. I'm back. I'm in my patio right now.
Gotcha. So
But
I'm sorry, were you going to say
no,
something
no, no,
else?
no. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you mentioned that it sounded like it was a bit of a, you know, not such a smooth start. Like you were baptized by fire, it sounds like.
Exactly.
And then You mentioned you're doing it for a living now as a dancer. How did that transition happen? How did you go from started learning this dance that you were not familiar with and now you're teaching?
Right. So I was doing real estate and I was doing really well, but I wasn't happy. You know, you can have, it's like you can have all the money that you want, but it still doesn't bring you happiness. And when the market crashed in 2008, you know, people, it was bad here in Florida. And so the guy, the owner of the company goes, "Look, Mary, I gotta let you go. I can't have you here anymore because there's nothing to sell." And I remember asking him, I said, "Well, so what am I gonna do?" And he goes, "Well, dance. I see you dancing here in the office all day." And I said, "Teach?" He goes, "Look, you look like you're pretty good." And I looked at him and I said, I think I could do that." And so I'm gonna be celebrating in October 20 years of teaching now, full time. And so like it, you know, I used to do it. I was doing it part time in 2004 and all that stuff, and then I went full time in 2008. But it's been a journey. I mean, it hasn't been easy, and I think that's what makes me love what I do so much is that I appreciate it from where it came from, you know. And the fact that people love it all over the world, that's just amazing to me, you know. And YouTube being such a free marketing tool, and Instagram and all the social media, you know,
Yeah, 100%.
it's
So
incredible.
you took a leap of faith, it sounds like, you know,
That
with
is.
dancing.
And I had, yeah, a leap of faith. I had some luck. I mean, I don't know if you know, probably in the bachata world, La Alemana,
Yes, Claudia.
right. So she learned how to dance here in my house,
Oh,
and
interesting.
yeah, and so you know, we've known each other for a long time, and one day, a friend of ours goes, "Look, there's, can I film you guys dancing? There's this thing called YouTube, and I would like to put it on there." Said okay. And so we were dancing in Miami, and I don't know how many million views that video has now, but that was back in 2007 or something like that. But it's crazy how just things line up, you know. And I believe that the universe calls has a call for you, and it's gonna be what it's gonna be.
Yeah, I think I saw one of the videos you dancing with her on YouTube actually,
Right.
and it was from 15 years ago or something.
Yeah, I look at that video, I'm like, oh, please somebody take it down. You
No,
know,
it's
because it's like, right, like everybody thinks, oh no, that's a classic, that's great. But you know, my style has changed throughout the years. You're not the same person. But I love to see where I came from and what kicked it off.
Well, some of it is about the journey, right?
Right. It's
Reflecting
completely
back,
fun.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's so cool. That's so cool. What has been like the biggest challenge, or one of the biggest challenges, transitioning, you know, to being a dancer, you know, going from a regular job to being a dancer and now having to do that for a living?
Well, for me, it was tough because when I was doing real estate, I had no problem having money. When the market crashes, you lose everything, homes, properties, all these things. So you're starting from zero. But what kept me going, what got me so energized about this new future for me was that I was living my dream and I wasn't doing somebody else's dream. And that's the most beautiful thing that you can really have in this world for yourself is that when you do something out of love for yourself. And it's true, when you build something for yourself, right? People can tear it down, people can tell you, oh, you know, I had people tell me, you can't make a living being a dancer. What are you talking? You know, my own family. And now they travel to go see me wherever I'm at, you know. And so it's interesting. And when you show people the passion that you have and what you build on it, then they see it and they believe in it. And so they continue following, and then they tell other people about what you're doing. And so yes, it's tough, but the reward is even greater, you know. especially with all the work that you put in. So yeah, it's been a crazy journey. I've had different partners, and I've learned from everybody. I've learned from every situation, and I'm gonna be 45 this year. And so, being in my 20s and being in my 40, in my 40s is a completely different way of thinking, including dance. And so I'm really excited about this journey, about where I'm at now.
What has it been for you in the first few years when you're starting dancing? Were there any moments, aha moments for you that you realized how to dance better? Or was that just a particular period of time that it took for you to improve? Because I'm curious, the reason I'm asking about this is because I'm a new dancer. I'm 2 years into it. And even within 2 years, it's been sort of like an interesting transition period from one thing to another. Some of that was mental, some of that was understanding how to move body better, some of that changing styles and all of that. So, from your perspective, what has it been like for you, and were there any moments, or was it just natural progression for you?
So when I started dancing salsa, there wasn't salsa and bachata as big. It was like when you would go to a social, it was strictly salsa. Maybe they'll put one or two cha-chas. And yes, there was that whole thing about dancing on one, dancing on two. I started dancing on one, and I didn't, it took me like I think 12 years till I transitioned to dancing on two, for many reasons. But for me, as a beginner, it was very difficult, because again, being Latino, I'm supposed to know how to dance. On top of that, learning in a group setting was very difficult for me. Like I used to write on my arms or my hands. People don't know this, but I had to look to make sure which one was my left and my right. So I would put an L and an R so I could be like, okay, that's my right foot. That's, so for me, that was different because I never had any dance training before. And so when I tell my students this, they don't believe me because they're like, wait a second, how is that possible? Well, like anything, like learning a language, you have to figure out, you have to practice it. I would practice every day in my house. If I didn't have a partner, I would tie a rope on my tree and I would practice, doing turns or anything like that. And so my goal was that I would have to face my fears because sometimes I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I know a lot of people go through this. You drive to a social, you drive to a class, and you're in the car and you're like, oh, I don't think I'm ready for this. And so you sit in the car and then you drive off, I would drive away and I'm like, no, I'm not, I can't go in there. I'm not ready. Then I would remember, again, my teacher, Edie, she goes, Neri, you are a diamond in this Fort Myers area that I've never even heard of. And yes, there's things you need to work on there. And she would tell me, you need to work on your timing, you need to work on your posture, you need to work on these things, but that's part of the progress. And here's this woman that is like world, like when she will walk in, everybody will go, oh my gosh, she's here, And so the fact that I had her as a mentor was incredible. And she goes, just keep at it because you're gonna be incredible, if not one of the best out there. And so that kept me motivated, and every time I did something, I always was very grateful to the women that gave me a chance because there were some women that probably saw me not dancing or saw me dancing and didn't care for it because they knew I was a beginner, and they were like, no, I don't want to dance with this guy. But then there were women that saw me sitting and would pull me out and say, hey, Neri, you're not going to learn how to dance, you're sitting, so let's get out there. So I'm very, I'm grateful. I always say I'm always grateful to those women. Because they got me to where I'm at now. And so I always tell my ladies, I'm like, ladies, if you see a guy sitting there, get him out there, because that's how I'm here. That's how I'm teaching all everybody is because of those ladies. So, those things happened to me. I mean, finally I got the nerve to go into socials. And then not only that, then now I gotta ask women to dance, right? So it's like, oh, but one thing that really helped me was that I would always dress really well and smell really well because I felt like it was my armor. and it was a
Okay.
way to present myself without saying hello. And so that did help a lot because sometimes they would start asking me to dance just because of the way I was dressed. And so that's why I'm always, preaching to the guys. I'm like, look, gentlemen, if you're gonna dress, even if with a t-shirt, bring another one, so you're not looking like a sweaty mess. And so, yeah, that's what comes to mind to me when I think about my progress in the beginning of my dance is how I got the nerve to put my skills out there. I always had this one person that I would start off my dance. I would call her my ringer, which was like, look, you're the one that's gonna get me started off for two reasons. So I can remember my moves. And the other one is so other people can see me dancing and maybe they'll say yes.
Yes, so completely resonate with what you're saying, and I did not sit in a car. I actually came to socials, sat at the socials, and then just
At
left.
least
There were a number of times,
you did
yeah, but there were a number
something
of times when I came in and I saw people dancing, and I'm
good.
like,
Right,
and then
and
I start getting into my head, you know, and I'm like, oh man, there's like everybody, because in the beginning everybody seems so good to you, you know, it does not matter even who that is. Like you just see somebody dancing, like, oh my gosh, I definitely can't do
No,
that. Well, I can't do
exactly.
this, you know, and it's just avalanche in your head,
You're
you know?
like, what am I doing here? What
Yeah.
am I thinking?
Yeah.
It's funny because we think as leads, we think that all these crazy moves is at first is what women want. You're like, oh, but again, I always bring up this teacher of mine, Edie. She said, Neri, don't think of me as a Ferrari and that you're gonna drive me all over the place.
Right.
Think of me as a classic Rolls-Royce and show me off, but with such elegance and smoothness. And that stuck with me. Ever since then, when she said that, I said, okay. I mean, you should know you've danced with all the men in the world, so I'm gonna believe what you're saying. And she was right. She was completely right.
So it sounds like you took that advice to heart because you're known for your elegance and style and smoothness. And so, did you internalize this advice and you kind of decide how to approach your style?
Yeah, so my inspiration as dancers were salsa people, yes, but I also loved people. I don't know if you ever heard of Gene Kelly or Fred Astaire. These are American movie actors and dancers and singers, and I would watch all their movies, and I just loved how they moved on the dance floor. I was like, wow, like they look like they're just gliding. And I said to myself, I said, I would love to be the Fred Astaire of salsa or the Gene Kelly of salsa. And so that always stuck with me. And these men always dress really well too. And they just hold down my water fountains just when Alexa, turn off water fountain. and so, yeah, all these things I started building up. And then just like, again, I'm a true believer of the universe, God, everything just leads you in the direction you need to be. And so when people tell you, oh, I love your style, you look so elegant, you dance so elegant, you kind of keep that going because elegance is something that I believe is that you are unique, but you bring to a certain location, you bring to a certain place. And I've always like And people don't believe this, but I used to wear suits when I was in the fourth grade. And my teachers would look at me like, you look so elegant, so handsome. Is your mom dressing you? I'm like, no, I put this on myself. And it was true. I would dress myself like that to go to school. And so the kids were like, what's wrong with this guy? But I loved it because I would get beautiful compliments from people,
I think you mentioned that sometimes we tend to get caught up in moves, you know, and thinking about moves too much when we dance. And I thought about it the other day, you know, moves versus concepts and how dance, salsa dancing in particular, being taught in few places here, at least in Orlando. Now, what have been like your way of teaching? Do you tend to focus on moves Or do you tend to focus on concepts or something else when you teach people to dance?
So when I teach people, I'm more concerned about technique and the idea, the concept of keep it simple, you know, less is better in a sense. I always tell them if you either have a dancer or you have a move collector, you know, and it's very difficult to be both. And so I always make the joke that yes, I make a living selling moves, but I hope that at the end they are dancing, you know, because I'm a true believer. I always say if you know five moves, and this goes in any dance, I'm learning how to do hustle right now. You know, I've been doing it for a year, and I have like five moves that I go to in hustle. And it reminds me of salsa, how I was learning. And, you know, just yesterday, or no, I'm sorry, on Saturday, I danced with this one lady and I said, look, my hustle is, you know, brand new. And I haven't really danced with somebody. And she's from New York. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this lady must be so good. And I'm dancing with her. And she goes, oh my gosh, you're like the smoothest hustle dancer I've ever danced with. And I'm like, oh, geez, that's great. And I was just doing five, six moves. And so, for me, you know, I truly believe that keeping it simple is a lot better. You know, I always say, ladies, do you prefer a man that is 1,000 moves, or do you prefer him to be on time? And 99% of the time, all the ladies will say, no, we want him to be on time, you know. And so I truly believe that, you know, I always advise my leads to be more conscious about who you're dancing with, because not everybody can follow 10 moves or 20 moves or 100 moves. And another situation that happened that really clicked on me was, again, this lady Edie, we're on the Aventura dance cruise, and she's on that cruise. And I don't know if you know who Terry is from France,
I
right?
do,
He's
I do.
a good friend of mine, and I see Terry dancing. I see this line of women just going for Terry. And I took a moment and I rested and I said to Edie, I said, Edie, I said, you've danced with Terry. You've known him for years. I said, what is the difference between Terry and me? And she takes a moment and she goes, I'm going to put it to you this way, Neri. She goes, with Terry, I would have a one night stand. With you, I would marry you. And she goes, I can dance 10 songs with you in one night. I can only do one with him.
Wow.
And so it was just like, and so she goes, just do you. You're on the right track. And I said, okay, great. And I mean, that made, she perfectly put it in my ear. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm gonna not worry. 'Cause at that point I was like, man, Terry's got all these great moves and he's so musical. And you know, my brain just for a second started going, wait, should I go in this journey? And then all of a sudden she, nope, here's stay where you're at. It's beautiful what you're doing, you know? And so, yeah, I truly believe keep it simple, you know?
That's pretty good feedback right there.
Oh, this is game changer. It's one of those turning points. And I'm telling you, I keep bringing Edie up because she's my mentor. And you have people like that, hopefully, in your life, maybe not in dance, but in other things that will tell you how things should be. And I call her my big sister. And, you know, she always put things in perspective for me that I was like, okay, you've danced with all these guys. You know what you're talking about. So I'm going to listen to you. And yeah, it's been great advice for years.
You mentioned dancing on one dance versus dancing on two, and you said
Correct.
that you've been dancing on one for a while before you started dancing on two, right?
Correct.
And now do you prefer on two?
No, I mean, I just love the fact that I can dance either one with no problem, you know? And I'm a true believer you can express the music however you want. You can dance on three and feel it differently. The fact that I can dance salsa, I'm just grateful about that. Now, you know, I get criticized a lot. I don't know if it's a lot, but I put my videos out there, and that's okay. You know, you're gonna get people that are not happy with what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's people in different countries that are like, what this guy is doing is not salsa. This is terrible. He's ruining salsa, and he has no idea what salsa is. And so I always like to explain to people that salsa has as many different styles. You know, I've traveled the world, and Israel has their own style of salsa. Mm. You know, Korea has their own style. You know, so it's just beautiful to see all different styles. You go to Colombia, you know, in just in cities, you have different styles of salsa.
Right.
So, you know, I always hope that, you know, people that see these things, that they're not so close-minded and see that it's not just one certain way. So back then, dancing on one and on two was a big deal. You know, it's like, oh, you know, you should be dancing on two. If you're a better dancer, you dance on two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I truly believe if you're a good or talented dancer, you know, you can enjoy both, you know. But what is it? Does it matter if you dance on one or two, but you're a rough lead? You know,
mm-hmm.
no woman's going to want to dance with you if you're rough. So there has to be a balance of technique, timing, all these things, you know, musicality. Like, again, my dear friend Terry, if you've seen his videos, he's a musical genius.
Yeah, and I wonder about this too, you know, because I hope one day I'll get a chance to ask him how he does it, because with him, I'm wondering if he memorizes every song and every beat of the drum, or if he understands something about musical structure that many other people don't understand, because he can hit a lot of things, micro things within the song,
right.
with a great precision. And so that makes me, from what I can like kind of imagine, it's either like he's memorizing or he knows something about structure of the song.
Right.
I don't know what else.
Well, I can tell you that it has to do a bit of both.
Okay.
You know, a lot with structure of music. I teach something called the Power of Four, which mm-hmm. is pretty interesting how my students can see how the music progresses and where you know it's going to hit a break or something like that. And, you know, Terry is also, he plays an instrument, you know, he knows how to play music. So that's, you know, I don't know if you know who Oliver Pineda is from
yeah.
Australia.
Yeah.
But, you know, Oliver, you know, when I had him here in Florida, one of them, every time we got in the car, this guy is playing on my dashboard.
Right.
Or he's playing on his, you right. know, so he goes, Neri, I could never be the world champion that I am if it wasn't for me being a professional percussionist. I know music, so I know how to hit everything.
Right.
And I'm like, oh wow, you know, yeah. man, you got that's right. You know, if you're a musician at that level,
yeah.
and you can dance and understand technique and dance, woo, you're gonna be incredible.
Yeah,
you know. So
yeah. I had a pleasure of interviewing Frankie Martinez at Chicago Salsa Congress in February, and he said, and I quote, "You're a musician, and your body is your instrument."
That's right.
And you know, that was also really amazing thing to hear, because, and you just confirmed it pretty much. It's having deeper understanding of music and really going deeper into that and learning it, right? And then
right.
you start maybe uncovering different levels associated with music, right?
So real quick, I'm looking at the comments and somebody says, please explain the rule of four. I'm actually kicking off next month. I'm doing an online workshop talking about this stuff. So I will just be in the lookout for my workshop that's coming online.
And where people can find it? Will it be on your website?
I'll promote it here on Instagram. I'll put it on my website. I haven't done one like this since COVID.
Mm.
So a lot of people have been asking me, you know, hey, Neri, when are you going to pop up online and do some workshops for the people all over the world? And I'm like, yeah, let me do that. So I've been prepping for that. So that's going to be happening in the end of April. So I'll promote that on Instagram and all the social medias.
Very fun. And then as far as you said in October, you'll be celebrating 20 years of teaching, right?
Yes.
And will you have some sort of social or get together for that?
I will. October 5th, here in Fort Myers, we're going to be celebrating 20 years of this beautiful journey, and you know, bringing some wonderful people, including Edie, who is this woman I've been talking about. She's been there for my tenure, and so now she's gonna, you know, I called her up. She was the first one, and I said, "Hey, I need you to be here for the 20." And she's like, "No problem." And so yeah, she teaches in Colorado, and she has a great school, and so that'll be exciting. And I'll be bringing other instructors. People that have fulfilled me throughout these 20 years, there's so many instructors I've had in my life that, you know, that have guided me. And so I'll be bringing some of them in for this event. So I'll be promoting that as well, starting in
Yeah,
April.
that sounds very exciting. Do you think you'll have some workshops that day
Oh
as well?
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Very cool.
it'll be a whole weekend event.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I need to mark it off on my calendar.
Yes, October 5th.
So getting back into, I know we talked about dancing on one versus on two. I'm curious when you said that some of that dictated by music. And so when you hear a song, when you ask somebody to dance, do you start dancing and just let them follow, or do you ever ask them how they prefer on one or on two, or what's that process looks like?
I always I've always I'm old school, so I'll always ask, right? I'll ask the lady, or because I also dance with men, so I'll ask whoever I'm dancing with, what do you prefer? You know, and it's so loud, so you do the whole and a lot of the times now I'm getting, no, you choose, right? They make me choose whatever you feel. Okay, great. But back then it was so divided years ago that only a lot of people could only dance on one, and just a certain amount of people could, you know, dance on two. But now I'm seeing that there's more of a mix. You know, I would never make a lady who's never danced on two dance on two. I want her to enjoy the dance, so I want her to enjoy the song. And so if she tells me one, and it's sad because now, you know, when people say one, they almost feel like embarrassed. You know, the lady might go, "Oh, I only dance on one." I'm like, "Great, I love one. Let's do it." You know, you should never feel embarrassed because you don't know how to dance another's. You know, to me, it's more like you got to let your journey take you there. I had so many people pressure me to dance on two back then, and I was like, "No, I'm not ready." And one of the main reasons, I'll tell you why, back then I didn't want to dance on two, it wasn't because of the music or anything like that. It was because of the people. I remember going to a club in New York, and at that time I just danced on one. And I'm looking at everybody, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, they're dancing on a different beat here." And I asked this young lady, I said, "Do you mind? I dance on one LA style. Do you mind dancing with me?" And she goes, "I've never danced that before, but I'll give it a try." And so we're dancing, and this lady is just standing, sitting. I remember she's sitting watching us, and she goes right to us in the middle of the dance floor, and she goes, "What are you doing? This is New York. We dance on two here." And I looked at her and I said, "Look, yeah," it was like, I said, it got me off guard. I was like, "Oh my gosh." I said, "Look, I'm visiting, but I'm not dancing with you. I've asked her to dance." And she said it was okay. And I looked at the girl, I said, "It's still okay, right?" And she goes, "Yeah, it's okay." So, you know, that kind of interaction was kind of weird. I was like, why are they doing that? You know, and so but then I started really loving the idea of when it was explained to me properly of why people dance on two, and why you know, the tumbao beat, and you know, wawanko, and all these things, you know, because I used to dance casino. So I said, okay, if I learn casino and I learn LA style, why can't I not dance on two? And so that pushed me, and I really, believe it or not, cha-cha is my favorite dance. And I'm like, okay, well, I keep being told that cha-cha's danced on two only, so I need a, you know, I love this music, and I should I should learn how to dance on two. So yeah, so now by learning on two, I learned how to dance cha-cha, and you know, it's incredible. It's incredible.
What element or aspect of dancing you find most or found most impactful for yourself? Maybe, I don't know, in the beginning or in the middle of your journey, or still to this day, is there one or two things that you can point to say, this has been a game changer for me throughout my journey? Maybe I'm thinking of some technical aspect, but maybe if there's something else, I would like to hear it.
Well, I'm going to get into a deep issue on this, right? So things that have happened in my journey, yes, dance, you're going to learn technique, you're going to learn, you don't do this, you do this and all this stuff. And so you learn through dancing, through trying. There was a point in my life where I thought I was a badass dancer. So when I would do a move and the girl would make a mistake, I would make a face, maybe. I don't even know, but I know I did. And I'll go, and that was, not towards her, it was more towards me, because I'm like, oh, I didn't lead that right. But of course, she's receiving this and she's going, it's me. And so, and I would also look at women as a tool to get my moves going, right? And I know every guy has experienced this. They don't look at it as dance anymore, but it's like, no, I gotta practice my moves and I'm gonna try it on this human being right now. And so my ego was really high at one point until women started saying, Neri, I don't want to dance with you. And I'm like, what? And they were like, no, you don't make me feel good. You think you're better than most people here, and I don't like that. And I was like, really? That doesn't sound like me. And so that look at my dance and just be like, wait, Neri, this is what's going on here. And that was one part of my journey that I was like, okay, let's reevaluate. What are you doing here? Are you using people for moves, or are you really dancing for yourself, or are you dancing to connect with somebody? And then my journey, I've been vegan. I'm going to be vegan 9 years now in May. Really opened me up and really created a conscious mind of a way of thinking. And so when that happened, I stopped looking at people as m moves that I can use on, and rather start thinking if this person had a beautiful day or not, and how can I change that for them. And so that was a huge shift. And so when I started asking ladies to dance, it wasn't about, what moves am I going to do on you. Was more about, hey, how are you feeling today? I'm so glad you made it out here, and I can't wait, to get this dance going. And so I love that, because that's what's made me stay in dance even longer, is that now I'm looking for a deeper connection, rather than just moves. And and I love that, because I get to connect with the whole world through dance now in a different way.
The challenge, the way I see it, and thank you for sharing it, by the way.
Yeah.
The challenge, the way that I see it, is that many studios teach moves, they teach patterns. And I think, and I'm going to speak for myself, but I believe from communicating with other men, many would feel similarly. Is that when we get on a dance floor, we feel like in order to solidify what we're doing, and to get this feedback loop to ourselves, we need to do moves. We need to be able to execute moves because that's what we taught in class. So in other words, we teach, and how do we know we succeed? If we do it right, we succeed, right? That's at least was my mindset as well going into it. And so the then challenge is that the emphasis in a lot of studios not made on connection. In fact, it seems that connection is more of an afterthought because it's being mentioned in the process, but it's not being an emphasis. So it doesn't seem to me that connection is being number one priority that studios leading with. So how to connect with someone first, how to look in somebody's eyes, how to make that nonverbal communication work, right? And I think that it appears, I don't know if you would agree, but it appears to be part of a challenge is because moves is sort of being the king, right?
Right.
Like that's what we're doing. We're doing moves. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, how do you think, especially new leads or intermediate leads that haven't been dancing and did not have that same realization that you had, how we can overcome that hurdle, given that we're being told moves to begin with?
You know, with social media now, right? Back then, when I'm dating myself, I'm learning with VHS, right? Schools, yes, they not all schools, but I believe, you know, most schools, yes, are teaching patterns, and you know, sometimes we disregard the follow, and I think it's just more about the moves, moves, moves. And people always say, Neri, you talk about how you just want to keep it simple, but when I see you dancing, you pull out all these crazy moves and, you know, all these things. And I said, well, yeah, I've been dancing for a long time. I've been putting a lot of hours, hundreds and I don't know, thousands of hours on the dance floor all these years. And I've learned that even though I have all these moves, right? That I learned to choose them. It's like I know a lot of words in English, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to put them all in one conversation.
Correct.
You know, I understand that in language, you know, you choose a topic and you use your words correctly to talk about that topic. And that's what I try to tell my students is that you look at somebody and you're not just going to talk about, you know, I don't know, world history if they've never even studied it and they don't care about that. And
Right.
so that's my way of saying connect, find out who this person is by, you know, by starting off, hey, how are you? My hey, how are you is a crossbody lead. That's
Right.
85% of the dance. And if that person can follow and be okay with a crossbody lead, then I'll do a reverse crossbody lead and then I'll build up from that and create the conversation. But I'm not just gonna go, hey, why, how you doing? What's going on? You know, and that's what I see a lot in salsa and bachata. You know, it's like I learned this new body weight, let's do it 100 times, but I don't know if she has neck issues, you know.
Right.
And so you have to, you know, create that type of connection. I also like to look at people when I go into a social dance floor. I always like to see around what's going on, who's doing what, who's dancing what, because immediately I can now tell, hey, you know, I got to dance for 5 hours straight sometimes. So I gotta keep things, you know, I'm not, you know, those videos that you see me out there, it's not me doing it every for 5 hours straight. You
Right.
know, it's just like that one moment that it's like, okay, but the rest, I'm just gonna be like, hey, you know. And so, you know, that's always been my advice is like, don't try to pile all these things in one dance, you know. Feel out the person, see if they can, you know. I never dip people unless I know that person. Because you never know if that person has some sort of injury, right? Or vertigo. You know, if you've never suffered with vertigo, you know, you can really get sick. And so you got to be conscious about these things. But again, this is my journey. I didn't think about that, you know, 15 years ago. I was more about the moves. As a beginner, I was like, I gotta have more moves. Because if I don't, I'm not gonna be good, you know?
No, it resonates. It definitely resonates. It almost seems as if, you know, taking these moves should be just a foundational stage, and that should be something that benefits us to become better dancers. But learning connection is kind of like separate, its own thing.
It is. I mean, it is and it's not, right? Because you can connect with people immediately if, you know, if you have the honor of seeing, you know, you can see who's drunk, who's not drunk, who's having a good day, by the way, who's sitting down there, who's a lady that's been sitting there for an hour, nobody's asked her to dance, you know. Those are the things that people need to practice is the social connection. But again, that for me has been my journey. It's like, where am I taking dance now? You know, long time ago, I used to have these little hearts that were green, and they were made out of stone, and then I would carry them in my pocket. So I think of this pocket full of these stones. And every time that I finished a dance, I would give one to a lady, and say thank you so much. I want you to have this because this was the moment that we connected. We continued our dance journey, and it was really nice. And I know people still have them. You know, like, oh, look, Neri, this was back in 2000, you know, seven over at, you know, so and so Congress. I'm like, great, you know. And so then I started thinking, I can't be carrying these all over. You know, I'm dancing, spinning. One time I spun, all these things went all over the floor. So I remember me explaining this to my Buddhist monk that I would go to, and she's like, Neri, you don't have to give them stones. You're already giving them yourself. And I was like, oh. And I said, and they're like, you know, that's going to stay with them even longer than the stone. You're going to give a part of you, and that part of you is going to stay with them. And that happens to all of us. It doesn't matter who you meet, maybe somebody you help on the street or something. So that's where my journey's been. It's like, you know, you don't have to physically give them something. You energetically already given them a lot, you know.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's beautifully put, actually, because if the connection is right in that moment, they should remember that
Yeah,
moment.
you don't need to carry all these stones, but I
Right.
knew the stones were a way of me trying to keep that
Right.
connection going, you
Yeah.
know. But again, it's my journey,
Correct.
right?
Right. So that was your unique way of thanking someone and making them feel valued.
Right. For allowing me to live my dream, which is to travel and dance with people, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. When is the last, when is the next time you're going to be in Orlando? Do you know?
So usually I'm always gonna, you know, I'm at the Orlando Congress, which is on July 4th weekend. Anytime before that, I don't think that's gonna happen. Just because these months, which I'm really grateful for, are just so booked up, going different locations and things like that. But you will catch me for sure on July 4th weekend in Orlando.
Very cool.
Yeah, I
Oh, I
love
can
that.
talk to. Yeah, it's a cool event. Yeah,
Yeah.
I can talk to you all day for sure. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of
I
fun. But
appreciate it. No, same here. I do have to say I love I was showing my girlfriend yesterday the video that you created of it was so cool, like how you, I did it in a workshop. I did it in you know, different locations, the same move, because they asked me for that same move. Orlando asked me for that same move. And then how you implemented it and put it, I was like, oh, that's so freaking cool. I love that. So good job on that.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. That move, I think you're talking about when you were like passing, going behind the lady's back.
Yes. Yes,
Yeah, it's such a,
the
yeah, it's
slingshot.
such
I call that the slingshot. Yeah.
it's such a smooth move. And you know, funny enough, the thing about this, I was like, it's exactly what we're talked about. I was like, okay, I learned that move. I have to do this. No matter what, I'm doing it. I don't care if the song is right, I'm doing this. Neri taught me that
If the song's right. That's, you know, and I think about that. I know that when I go and I'm teaching at a congress or something like that, it's, you know, there's some teachers that teach and say, look what I can do. You know, it's these workshops as, oh, look what I can do. But can you do that? You know, it's going to take you a while. So I like to show something. And then if you remember, I always like to teach something that you can use that same day, something that's going to be smooth and just gentle enough that you can use it the same day, you know. And so, but yeah, you took it to another level, so that's great.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Anything you want to add in closing?
First of all, thank you for doing this. You know, I'm always grateful that somebody wants to talk to me, you know, and talk about what I love to do. And so having this platform, thank you so much. Thank you for believing in what I do. I think the greater part of my life is that if I leave this earth, I don't just want to be known as a dancer, like, oh, Neri had cool moves. You know, I truly believe that through dance is so healing, and that we can, work on ourselves where we can heal ourselves and heal others through dance. And so, you know, that's that's my journey, is to show people that it's not just about moves, or that you're not good enough, or that all these things that we're being told by social media and the world, is that no, you're amazing, that you can do these things, and that you should be grateful that you can get up today. And I always say, look, a lot of people did not wake up this morning, and so we're the lucky ones right now that we did. And so, through dance, I just show my gratitude, and I'm grateful for what I get to do, and hopefully I get to do it for many more years to go. Even though I'm getting up there in years, I don't feel it. I feel like I'm 20, just wiser.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you so much, Neri, for taking the time to do this and for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, and your journey with me and with all of us. I hope we'll do it again.
Yes, for sure. Please let me know. Thank you, everybody, for watching and joining in.